Now, this is a series called Praying for Ordinary People, and this afternoon's topic will be Prevailing Prayer for Ordinary People. Now, George Miller wanted to buy a field from a farmer who wanted far more money than George Miller suggested. George said, "I first need to pray about it." It's always a wise thing to do, isn't it? A friend of the farmer asked concerned the farmer, "What did George say? And what did you tell him?" Then his friend urged the farmer and said, "Quickly, give him the field for the suggested amount of money, because when George starts to pray, he will get it for free." You see, prayer is something absolutely stunning and amazing. If we have any regrets in heaven, I think then it will certainly be that we didn't pray enough on this world. Then it may dawn on us that we ask for crumbs when we could have had bankers. William Law said, "He who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of a happy and holy life." I want to read James 5, verse 16 to 18. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you so much for these powerful words. We thank you, Lord, that this is not just another passage, but Lord, we pray that we would just realize the benefits, the treasures in this passage. Lord, we thank you. We pray, Lord, help us to review the whole aspect of prayer and encourage us right here this afternoon, that we will go out here different to what we came in, that we know prayer is powerful. Amen. What is prayer? Truly, we have learned a great lesson when we have learned that saying prayers is not praying. God is not interested in words only. When I was still a Catholic, many, many years ago, and I wasn't saved, my brother and I, we had once a time where we were just interested in God. And you know what we did? We went to our grandparents. They were a long way away at that stage. And we have, at that particular day, we have shut ourselves into a wardrobe, and we took our rosary beads and we prayed as many as possible. The only thing which mattered were numbers. How many times did we pray? Contents wasn't any use to us, and we didn't know anything about it anyway. We wouldn't have known what we prayed, just as many times. We had a completely wrong concept of prayer. But true prayer is simply a living heart speaking into a living ear of God. It's communion with God. It means pouring out. True prayer is measured by weight and not by length. The author of the book was James, who was the Lord's brother. His nickname, by the way, was Camel Knees, because his knees had become hardened like a camel through the amount of time he spent bent in prayer upon his knees. Isn't that brilliant? He practiced what he preached. In prayer, men grasp the hand that controls all things. This is why it is true that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. So it is the most significant subject to the devil too. But if we are not mighty in prayer and do not believe that prayer is the greatest spiritual unused weapon in the world, then the power of heaven never really will be released. This is why the devil does everything to weaken our prayers, because he fears them. Satan prefers you and me to be very, very busy, engaged in the Lord's work with many, many activities. He doesn't mind activities, but he minds prayer, because prayer empowers Christian work. Prayer has produced marvelous results in the lives of a multitude. We know that Abraham prayed a long time for a son, Isaac came. Moses prayed, heaven's wrath was subdued. Hannah prayed, Samuel was given to her. Jesus prayed, the pillars of the church were chosen. The disciples prayed, Pentecost became a mighty factor. Martin Luther prayed, God broke the spell of ages. John Knox prayed, tyrants were terrified and Scotland was blessed. George Miller prayed, hungry orphans were fed. We could go on and on and on. An earnest prayer releases divine power. Now here in our passage this afternoon, James could have chosen many, many other Old Testament examples of effective prayer, because there is a loads of them. But he chose Elijah as his illustration. Why Elijah? Why not somebody else? My suggestion to you would be because Elijah's weakness is so obvious to everybody, as well as his power. Elijah ran away from a woman. Elijah was scared to death because of a woman called Jezebel. A woman frightened that great man of God, Elijah. Can you imagine? When have you been frightened last from a woman? It says in 1 Kings 19, verse 3, he arose and ran for his life. Have you ever run for miles and miles because you were scared of a woman? After this, he fled to the wilderness and wanted to die. Depression overtook him. Here, I don't read anything of a mighty warrior in prayer. Do you? James says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. This is the first thing he wants to impress upon us. James clearly wants to express that Elijah was an ordinary man. He was not a superman, but a normal man with flesh and blood like we are. Praise God for that! He breathed the same air. Probably a bit less exhaust fumes, but it was the same. But here we also see the Greek word literally means something like of the same experience or of the same suffering. He had the same experiences of failings like we have. Isn't that encouraging to us? Now praise God for Elijah. Do you know why? This is so encouraging for you and me, because this element of weakness in Elijah's life makes this story so powerful, relevant, and meaningful to us. Having reminded us that Elijah was an ordinary man and a mortal man, we read this. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So what is the secret? What is the difference? What caused this great miracle? A few things. He prayed earnestly. The literal translation is, he prayed in prayer, or he prayed with prayer. The noun being used to emphasize the force of the verb. The whole feeling is one of intensity, earnestness, and passion. Where are the earnest prayers nowadays? There is a story of two journalists on site by the Twin Towers on September 11th. One was a lady. She took the famous video clip, which was shown on most news everywhere. She could catch the second plane on camera, and she stayed as long as she could to film the incident. And then you hear on her original tape saying, "I must run, I must run." And then she started to run away, and you could see the camera going zigzag, and she ran for her life. And she couldn't make it. She died. Now, the very same day, there was another journalist there. The second journalist, he just looked back and saw this massive, dark, black cloud. He said, "I knew I was a dead man." And he cried out to God and said, "God, save my life. If you save my life, I will serve you." He has been interviewed later on, and they asked him, "Have you been a Christian or something? Or do you believe in God? Are you a believer?" And he said, "No, I've never thought about God until today. It became an issue in that very moment." He survived. That man has never seen the need to pray until he came to the place where he couldn't help himself. And then he began to cry out earnestly. It was a desperate, an emergency cry to God, to the living God in heaven. What does this example show us? Even when non-Christians cry out to God in all seriousness and earnestness, God, in his infinite mercy, sometimes answers prayers mightily. As long as people think they can handle the situation and say, "I can handle my life all right, I don't need God," they never feel the need to pray earnestly. But you say, "Oh, I've recognized I need God. I know that I'm a Christian. I've given my life to God. And I know I need God in my life." But the thing is, how is it? We've got all difficulties. We've got all questions. It could be even your children or your family or an illness or finance, whatever issue in our lives. The question is, can we do it on our own, or do we really need God desperately? We need to come to the place where we realize we cannot help ourselves. We need God. Only when we come to that place of earnest prayer, then things start to change. You see these two journalists? One has didn't consider God, the other one cried out in earnestness, and he got away with his life. Elijah prayed earnestly, and his petition remained as a living example of a prevailing prayer. You see, God sees if we pray with all our heart and with expectation. He sees our attitude and everything in our hearts. He knows. Or if we just pray in a superficial way as a custom, because we have a prayer meeting every week. Or I discovered myself sometimes in my own life, I say habit grace at the table, at the dinner table. God doesn't answer habit prayers. Habit prayers are like rosary beads, you see, or custom prayers. But God answers earnest, real prayers. The second point is, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. More imagine. Knee work is much more valuable in God's eyes than in ours. But prayer requires time. That is a big thing, isn't it? It requires time. Sometimes we only look at this great miracle of giving rain, but we cannot see how many hours Elijah spent in prayer on his knees during the 3.5 years before this big miracle took place. Did you hear that? 3.5 years he prayed. Isn't that amazing? When did we last pray intensively? 3.5 years? Maybe never. Elijah even was on a part fast because the ravens nourished him in the mornings and in the evenings. So he skipped lunch for 3.5 years. So that enabled him even more to pray. It takes a persistent and insistent prayer. It takes a real push sometimes. Push is spelled P-U-S-H. Push. Pray until something happens. Prayer is not a week's duration. It's not for a month or for just a certain period of time. You've got to push and push and push until something is best. It takes commitment and dedication before God. Never, never, ever give up. Never quit. You say, I'm willing to pay the price. And you push. Victors never quit. It needs to be in your blood. We need to be people with vision who go all the way until we break through. You can't be double-minded because one day you pray for a specific burden and the next day you've already forgotten it. No, that doesn't work because James 1:8 says, clearly, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He doesn't receive anything. You see, in the secret place, we receive power, and in the public place, God reveals it. That's how it works. A great man of God once prayed for a cripple who had no feet. And then he said to him, go to the shoe shop and buy some shoes. And he did. He really went to the shoe shop without feet. And the lady was puzzled, looked at his feet and said, what size would you like, sir? And he very bravely mentioned a size number. And while she was going to get that pair of shoes, his feet grew. While when she was back, the shoes fitted his feet exactly. Here we also see a wonderful miracle, which was revealed in public, and we praise God for that. Yes, praise God, but we must realize that this man of God prevailed in prayer on his knees before all these things happened in the public. In prayer, we obtain power. Power for our daily life. We pray for the blind sometimes, and they hear. And we pray for those who can't hear, and they see. But that shouldn't be in there. It should be exactly the other way around. Prayer requires time. Do you and I take enough time to pray? Now we move to the third point. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 16. James is clearly using the word righteous in a moral sense, showing its great importance in the matter of prayer. It's not enough for a person to be able to say, I'm a Christian, and then we look to his spiritual or positional righteousness as a guarantee of praying successfully. That doesn't work that way in God's eyes. He must also be morally right. That simple truth is underlined through the whole Bible. Also, the psalmist even testifies in Psalm 66, 18 and 19. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Moral righteousness must be found in our daily life. Otherwise, God normally doesn't answer prayer. A Roman Catholic clergyman once said to his audience, practice what I speak, but not what I do. In other words, he tried to say, do my spoken righteousness, but not my own. With such an attitude, you will never really achieve real righteousness. We must live moral righteous. The church is looking for better methods nowadays, but God is looking for better men, men of prayer. God does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. Nowadays, prayer is out of date, really. Almost a lost art. Mary Queen of Scots is recorded as saying of John Knox, I'm sure you have heard that one before, I fear the prayers of one man more than the armed might of Europe. I mean, this is a big statement. One man who prays is more dangerous than the whole armed might of Europe. That says something. Prayer is the mightiest weapon in the universe. No doubt about it. If an army advances on its stomach, a church advances on its knees. I have a friend called Michael. Now, his dad recalled to me the following incident. One day, in India, they lived, the Christians were harassed, so that family had prayer time. They prayed about it, and Michael, who was only a little boy at that stage, he prayed this. He prayed, Lord, punish them! Shoot them! Kill them! The father interrupted and said, Son, they will do. Prayer is a weapon, yes, but we shouldn't use it against our enemies, but for our enemies. As we discovered that prayer is for ordinary Christian people, it would almost be fatal if we neglected our last point, the struggle of prayer. You see, Joshua never grew weary in the fighting, but Moses did grow weary in the praying. Exodus 17 verse 12. It is much easier to physically labor all day and be exhausted than actually pray all day. Let us remember that it is never impossible to do what God requires. That doesn't mean it is not difficult. Because when God commands us to pray and we don't, we actually sin because He has commanded us. And if we commit sin, we should repent and confess it on the altar and just change our ways. The fact that there are difficulties in the way is no excuse for neglecting prayer. God knew all about the difficulties when He gave the command. God is quite able, praise God, to furnish us with strength to overcome the difficulties. D.L. Moody, he says this, when it is hardest to pray, we ought to pray the hardest. W.E. Sangster said, tell God that you have no inclination to pray and that you have dragged yourself to your knees. Still, you will be welcome. You see, sometimes we need to force ourselves to pray because we don't feel like it. If you are too busy, then listen to what John Wesley says. I have so much to do that I must spend several hours in prayer before I'm able to do it. That's a challenge to me, and I think to all of us, isn't it? I mean, that's amazing, a statement like that. Now look at Jesus' prayer life himself. Jesus is God. We know that He often withdrew Himself to pray. We read in Luke 5, verse 16, so He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Often, it says. That little word, often, is very significant. This means on a regular basis. Now listen, if Jesus, being God, had the need to pray, how much more do we need have the need of prayer? Do you know that it wasn't easy for Jesus to pray, to find time to pray? We say we are so busy. Do you know that He actually had exactly the same struggles? Often the crowd was looking for Him and literally interrupted His prayer life. Listen to Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus also struggled to find time to be alone with God. So you and I, you're not the only one. On one occasion, he even sent the people away in order to cherish his prayer life. This is what Matthew 14, 23 says. And when he had sent the multitude away, I mean, is that polite to do here in England? If you have somebody in the house, for example, you just send them away. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Listen, when Jesus was able to find time for prayer, how much more do we have? He was so determined to pray that we read on another occasion that he spent all night in prayer. If he was too busy during the day to pray, and if he didn't find time during the day, he just prayed at night. I mean, that is a challenge. Because usually, if I'm so busy during the day and my day is full at night, I'm even more tired. He had a prayer life. So when we sum up tonight's subject, prevailing prayer for ordinary people, we have found out 5 essential points. Take these home with you. Elijah was an ordinary man like we are. And earnest prayer avails much. Prayer requires time. We must live a morally righteous life. Prayer is a struggle. Overall, it's safe to say that we will never rise higher spiritually than the level of our prayers. Lord, we thank you so much that the weapon of prayer you have given to us is so powerful. Lord, we thank you for this. And we really pray, help us to combine that with our daily life. Lord, that we would not forget it, but that we would come to you in all earnestness, with all our troubles we have, difficulties, because they are here. And Lord, you know them. You are familiar with our difficulties. And we pray, Lord, help us that we can really advance on our knees. Help us, Lord. Lord, it is a struggle probably for all of us. It certainly is for me. But Lord, we know this is the only way. Help us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you know about all these struggles of finding time. And we pray, Lord, enable us to take more time to pray earnestly. Amen.